Check it, bro. I'm surfing with Fuse's new unbreakable glass bottle, bro.
That's actually Fuse's new plastic bottle, and there's a drink inside, bro. Fuse, vitamin and mineral-enhanced beverages infused with quality ingredients and exceptional taste. And now with its new plastic bottle, Healthy just got portable.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
All right, welcome to BS Report. Starting a new monthly feature this week. My friend Dave Damashek is going to join us once a month to talk about the various things that are driving him crazy in the sports world, but also do his Jerk of the Month list, which we're going to premiere this week. But Dave, you host a radio show in Los Angeles on ESPN Radio, 7:10 a.m.
That's true.
Afternoons. That's true. Maybe the most controversial thing that's ever happened during the reign of your show, Elton Brand. Backstabbing the Clippers.
No. It still takes a backseat to Belichick's cheating ways. So don't kid yourself.
Yeah,
that's
that was a national story. This is an L.A. story.
Yeah, right. Definitely. I think you're right as far as L.A. goes. Yes, it's quite a, everybody says that nothing happens in summertime, but think of the week we're living in right now. Brand, baseball deals, big time guys moving around.
Yeah.
And Brett Favre, of course.
Brett Favre, a phenomenal tennis match.
You know what is sad for me? I have to admit, I didn't watch it. I turned it on. It was a rain delay, and I went about the rest of my day and completely forgot about it. Thank goodness for ESPN Classic.
Yeah, they did a good job.
Which I invented about 20 years ago. What's that?
You know what's sad for me? I wrote one of the 10 worst columns I've ever written about how I thought tennis was kind of washed up as a sport. I just didn't put enough time into it. It was not one of my finer moments. Had a couple mistakes in there. Then one of the theses was that if somebody told you that the greatest tennis match ever played was about to be played, would you even watch it? And my argument was a lot of people would say no. Now, I'm flicking channels. It's set number 3 of this Nadal-Federer match. I get roped in. I end up watching the whole, I'm babysitting. My kid's like practically crawling out the window. I don't care. So now this proved my thesis wrong. And now that's become maybe the dumbest column I've ever written.
Yeah, that's too bad. And you know, it's interesting. You know, who knows if it'll mean a resurgence for tennis. And I guess if these two guys meet in the U.S. Open finals, I'll definitely be tuned in for that. But where does it rank? That's what we were talking about on the radio the other day. Is where does this rank in the list of our lifetime in the all time greatest sporting events? Everybody seems to say that this is the greatest tennis match in the history of the sport, right?
Right.
So then, where does this fit in with the rest of the thing? USA, Soviet Union, number one, right?
Hold on, it's not on that. First of all,
if it's the greatest tennis match of all time, then it belongs somewhere in the top 25, right?
But anytime something great happens, everybody becomes convinced it's the greatest thing ever. I mean, it's in the, you know, it's on the list. I don't know if we could say it was greater than Borg-McEnroe, which is one of the defining memories of my childhood.
McEnroe himself says that.
Well,
that this was the best match.
That's what people do, though. Like LeBron had the 47 against the Pistons in 2007. Whatever, the 48 special, whatever. That's the greatest game anybody. I mean, it wasn't. It was on the list. It wasn't the greatest game anybody's ever played. But here's the thing that I think kills it as one of the great sporting events. The rain delays.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to factor that in 20 years from now when they talk about this match. But I was there flicking back and forth, stuck watching. I think they had like volleyball on for like an hour at one point, and they were showing like a – you know, some tape doubles match for another 2 hours. So for you to say this was the greatest match, not you, but in general, like they played for 5 hours. The match itself took 10 hours. So there's 5 hours of just people basically, the people that were there were sitting under the roof trying not to get rained on. And I was flicking around watching TV waiting for them.
What I do always like that. That's always some of the best programming you can get as a TV viewer is the rain delay fill-in stuff. You know, they'll go with a sometimes that you'll find they have something like a This Week in Baseball to roll in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they'll do a match that was good from a couple years ago. But then they start stretching. They'll roll in an old Small Wonder episode. They'll do stuff like that. Yeah. Or the Jay Johnstone wacky sports clips. From about 1981 around that.
Well,
era.
Here's what was really wacky. They had to do the NBC News this update just to update you on what's going on here at Wimbledon. Mm-hmm. Bill Patrick.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Loves to talk the puck too.
When's the last time you saw Bill Patrick? I had a feeling like he was home, like just hanging out with his girlfriend. And they're like, Bill, you got to come in, emergency.
Well, now I know it's not a bit for you but your lack of watching hockey. Because I see him all the time as an avid hockey viewer. He does the
he does the NBC studio show, but there was no reason for him to be. It's not like they have an NBC Sunday sports show that he's like hosting, or it's not like he was doing highlights. There's literally no reason for him to be there, so they had to.
Except for the fact that he likely has been out of work for a while and may very well even be homeless and live under the desk in the studio there.
That is possible. But I was excited for him. I was glad to see him again.
That
he was like, you know, he was like Ted Koppel in 1980. You know, we should be back at Wimbledon in about 30 minutes. The rain is subsiding. But here's my other question, Wimbledon. How in the F do they not have, first of all, lights? Second of all, a retractable roof. How hard would it be for them to have a retractable roof?
That would be no good. You don't want that at Wimbledon, a retractable roof.
I don't.
I don't know. I kind of like the, I like the
2008.
I suppose, but I, don't wait, you love me?
Wrigley Field has lights. Wimbledon could have lights.
All right. Well, you want a dome put on Wrigley and Fenway Park too then?
I'm just saying it rains all the time in England. It's not like this is like, oh my God, wow, where did this rain come from? It's freaking England. It rains 9 months out of the 12 months every year. Like, you have to have a roof.
No, because the thing is grass. That's what you want, the rain falling all over it, right? What do I know? I don't know about
it. I'm not arguing that. All I'm saying is, you know, as Charles Barkley would say, number one, they need a roof because it rains nonstop and it constantly delays and they're constantly having to show these tape games. But number two, with the lights, there was a real possibility if Nadal didn't win that last game, they would have had to just come back the next day and they would have left at 9-9. How terrible would that have been? It's not like the U.S. Open where you're playing 18 holes the next
day. I'll sign off on the lights part of your argument there. That is bizarre. Yeah, that's great.
They're just going to come back, warm up, and then play the deciding two games of the Wimbledon Championship?
Yeah, like, and the U.S. fresh. Open is great under the lights, too. Yeah, why wouldn't Wimbledon want that element in there? Good point.
I'm all for supporting history, but at some point you have to realize here's the thing. You can't play the history card, but then also have the Rolex Call Challenger or whatever they have, the Rolex replay.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, they're like, Federer has three challenges left. I'm like, this guy has replay challenges, but they can't have lights?
Yeah.
They can't have a roof?
Yeah, the more I think about it,
I just can't accept anything being the greatest tennis match ever when the guy's not wearing sleeves.
You're down on Nadal's look, though.
I'm down on his look. If we saw that guy in a bar, we'd make fun of him.
Yeah,
I'm down on no sleeves in general in any facet of life. I don't think it's ever. I don't even like it in basketball. I wish they wore T-shirts underneath.
Yeah.
I don't want to see armpit hair. I don't want to see somebody's shoulders.
Yeah, and I thought the whole deal was that you had to be collared and put a whole, a certain aesthetic out there to be on the grass at Wimbledon.
I'm going to create this verb. I think he's a little Vujicic-y. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Might wear a lot of gel going out to the nightclub. Might hit on your girlfriend.
Well, heaven forbid, though, that he becomes sufficiently popular, Nadal, that now that becomes back in vogue, the sleeveless look. Remember in the 80s? That was the thing. I mean, I never did it. I would be surprised, though, if Bill Simmons didn't walk around.
Never.
Especially,
no.
Even with your love of Larry Bird, you didn't go around in a 33?
What do you mean?
You didn't go around in the tank top?
I always had the T-shirt underneath.
You did.
I don't have guns. If I had the gun show going, I might not wear the T-shirt.
You don't see a lot of that look anymore. Wonder what happened. Patrick Ewing initiated that entire trend back in college basketball. And
the T-shirt.
The T-shirt thing. And then it became the thing. And it made it all right for me as the 13th man on my high school team. It was great for me to always be able to wear the T-shirt. Yeah. Well, listen, I'm just being like Patrick Ewing and any number of other college basketball players. Imagine the shame if I had to expose my pasty, skinny arms to the world like that. would be a great, I mean, I'd further embarrass myself more than when I would actually get out onto the floor. But
when
I mean,
do you think the trend started where the NBA players started shaving their chest and their armpit hair?
Well, listen, I've brought that up to you before. I think you and I are on the outs. We're in a dying group. I think we in our late 30s are the last generation of American heterosexual men who don't shave our bodies. We don't groom the way that the 20-somethings do.
So you're saying any 20-something listener I have for my podcast right now is shaving their body?
I'd venture to say yes. I think that most
really?
Of the 20-something guys shave themselves now. I think they take away the armpit hair. They never go, leave the hair chest out there. Listen, it's a debate. It's a quandary that I've even discussed with my wife of it. Do I now take the hair off my chest, my machismo?
Well, why would you? You're married. You don't need to impress her.
I know, but
she's
it still is. But, you know, the looks I've gotten out on the beach, you know, we went out to the beach for the fourth and the 20-somethings, the looks you get now, it's not just that you're old or that you got a pot belly now. On top of it, they look at me as though I'm a different species
like
with the fur. Yeah. And
listen,
I'm not out of control, but you know, listen, there's some, au naturel on the chest at least, you know. So you're not ever gonna shave yourself.
Never.
Yeah.
Not in a million years.
Yeah, I think it's a generational thing.
Well, what statement is Carlos Boozer making then? Do you think it's like he's from Alaska, like he's kind of, you know how women are crunchy?
Uh-huh.
Like women who like grew up in Vermont, they don't shave their legs, those people we went to college with. Boozer's kind of like a crunchy NBA player almost.
Yeah, refuses to play ball.
Old school.
Yeah.
I'm not shaving anything. You're going to see my chest hair. You're going to like it.
Yeah, I guess so. Because, yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. It bothers me, too, though. I don't care about the NBA guys so much as myself. Going around L.A., around the beaches and stuff, it's a humiliation that isn't just this year or the next couple of years. I expect that the older we get, the more obscure we're going to see. It's the more strange and mocked we're going to be by the younger kids.
Yeah. I've just resigned to it at this point. I mean, all the movies that we like, basically anybody under 25 doesn't. Do you think anybody under 20 has, like, even seen Stripes?
That's a really.
That worries me.
It's really funny you bring Stripes up because in the car over here, I was just thinking about Elton Brand and thinking about how he is very much to Baron Davis as Bill Murray is to Russell Zisky in Stripes.
Yeah.
Think about the scene when they get in trouble at night and Sergeant Hulka has him toe the line,
yeah.
And he says, whoever was a part of this, step forward now, and Bill Murray gives that half step, and Russell Zisky takes the full step out, and now standing out. It's the same thing. It's as though Mike Dunleavy and Donald Sterling and whoever else from the Clippers said, all right, who's with the Clippers for this season? And Elton Brand gave the half step, and Baron Davis was like, all right, I'm in two then, and Elton Brand is now snickering in the background.
Yeah.
It's exact. You know, as a matter of fact, Bill Murray has a habit of this. He does the same thing to Woody Harrelson in Kingpin.
Yeah,
when they dupe the guys at the beginning, when Woody Harrelson gets his hand chopped off by the guys, they say, get out of the car, and Bill Murray says, yeah, we better get out of the car here. And he opens his door halfway, and Woody Harrelson gets all the way out, and then Bill Murray closes his door and drives away.
Well, I'm a big believer in the theory that famous actors end up playing characters that they feel like they're deep down kind of like. But you look at Costner's movie career, and it's just character after character. He's basically playing Kevin Costner.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, there's some exceptions, like Phil Seymour Hoffman is
range,
you know, going for a different thing with each movie, and I think De Niro was like that before he sold out.
Pacino has been that since Godfather 3.
Right.
He's done the exact same character, whether he's pretending to be blind or not.
Right,
yeah. Maybe that was the movie, yeah.
But a lot of the other characters, they just kind of gravitate toward the characters that they are inside. And, you know, supposedly Bill Murray is not the greatest guy.
Yeah, apparently that's what his now ex-wife says.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we don't know if that stuff's true, but he's a hothead and kind of like a real mercurial guy, and nobody really knows him that well. And now he gravitates to all these weird, like the guy in Rushmore, guy in Lost in Translation, who supposedly was Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm.
The Stripes, the guy who pulls all the stuff. So maybe that's who he is. Maybe he's trying to tell us
something. That's why he's so good at it, yeah.
And whereas Costner is this guy who's this charismatic guy who obviously wanted to be a professional athlete that didn't work out, and now he's made 100 sports movies.
Yeah, and now it looks like he's he's back in with a vengeance now. Do you see the ads for his latest picture?
What was it?
So I think it's called Swing Vote. He's playing a redneck guy. It apparently is Kevin Costner doing comedy. I don't think that's going to work out very well. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little
a political
too late.
Comedy.
A little too late for him to do comedy. The other thing when people start playing the people that they really are, whenever they deviate from that, it's always weird. Like when there's a movie like 2 years ago where Costner was a serial killer.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? I have too much history with you, Kevin Costner. I'm not buying you killing bodies.
Yeah, I don't like when, Costner's, the worst thing he ever did was attempt the accent for Robin Hood. That's always uncomfortable.
But he gave up halfway through.
Yeah.
halfway through the film, he told the director, you know what? This is working.
Now, wait a second.
Let's just scrap the English accent.
There are many of these, and Bill Murray is only the tip of the iceberg. Who else? Elton Brand is like, he loves the movie, so it makes sense that to use movie analogies then for
you mean the way he wrote Baron
for this
Davis
behavior of Elton
him?
Brand. Yeah, what he did to Baron Davis. Listen, he told Baron Davis that he wanted him to be a Clipper, supposedly. These are the rumors.
Yeah, that's the problem is we don't know all the facts yet.
I guess, but I hope one day at least we'll find out what the real story is. He supposedly, a couple of months ago, told the Clippers of all the guys who potentially might opt out of their last year, the one guy to go after would be Baron Davis. They do that. He says he would, he'll take a little bit less money if it allows him to sign Baron Davis.
See, I never bought that. I said that from the get-go. My friends with the Clippers, the day that, after they signed Baron and Elton, all of a sudden they were like, wait a second, you're signing with us, right? And then it's like, and they're all panicking. When the money is different like that, when you're talking.
What? Now,
like
how different is the money?
You're talking 15, 20 million.
Oh, stop it. Listen, it's hard
I'm
for you.
I'm saying it's 15, 20 million. That's these guys, NBA players go broke all the time. You know, somebody like Kenny Anderson makes $100 billion and is bankrupt. There's a couple other guys in the league near the tail end of their careers I won't name, but guys that have made, you know, nine figures and don't have any of it left. These guys see those guys and they just kind of get scared.
That's ridiculous. Wait, hold on a second.
I'm telling you, I think they get
it's hard for you to relate to it.
Stop it.
Listen, you're somewhere, you don't make Elton Brand money, but you don't make Damashek money either. You're closer to the Brand side than the Damashek side. But
close to me, try to do this too. I will not have my financial status lied about on my podcast.
All right, dig. Look, if you said it's a difference of $10 million over 5 years, I would do
$15 million.
Or the total? No, it wasn't. It's 82 million versus 70 million are the final numbers, right? The Clippers were willing to pay as much as 70. And by the way, the Clippers also
Is that confirmed though?
I don't know if it's confirmed, but also the Clippers have
70.
But the Clippers still theoretically would have had the ability to dump a couple of contracts the same way that Philadelphia did. In order to make a little bit more bank to create more bank, Brand didn't give him the chance to do that.
All right, here are my counterarguments. First of all, can you blame anybody from fleeing the Clippers? I mean, really, can you? The most jinxed NBA franchise of the last 35 years. He just came off an Achilles tendon. He had just watched Sean Livingston became the first guy to ever tear 19 ligaments in his knee on the same play. Every ligament he had in his knee somehow tore.
Underrated is among the most gruesome sports injuries.
Most
of the
gruesome
last.
And most devastating. Like I was telling somebody, like just imagine just taking Rondo out of last year's Celtics team.
Mm-hmm.
The Livingston was at least on that level.
Yeah, listen, I agree with that.
Maybe Elton was just not just wanted to get away.
Yeah, but not most gruesome. Most gruesome sports injury of all time, Clint Malarchuk.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Caps goalie getting slashed on the
actually,
neck.
You know what was underrated though?
Oh no, he was Sabres goalie at the time.
Malarchuk was number one because really we're never going to see anybody's jugular vein get split and spurt all over the ice ever again. Number two, and I watched this live when it happened, and I can tell you firsthand it was really top three most scarring things I've ever seen was Bryce Fleury getting hit in the face by a line drive.
Oh yeah, that
being
was
stunned,
awful. Yeah,
turning to the camera like a second past. And then blood just started pouring out of his eye and his nose and they kept the camera on like the cameraman was in shock.
Mm-hmm.
That was horrible. And he never pitched again.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. He tried to come back.
That's never mentioned in the most traumatizing injuries. Like Fenway was like, I mean, they really should have just stopped the game and ended it because it was like 6-0 at that point. But,
yeah, that was an awful one. And as a matter of fact, Richard Zednik, I think he got the jugular slashed during this season. So, but it wasn't as gruesome as Millarchuk,
you know,
doing that.
When you think of it, though, it's amazing it doesn't happen like once every 2 months.
Yeah, you think
of
it would.
Like, skates going in the air, guys, especially like when they have the scrums or the brawls, the guys trying to pull each other apart. And you would just think it's like the same thing with football. Like, I don't understand how football players aren't paralyzed or break their vertebrae. Like, we should see that once a week when you think of the collisions that these guys have and the way they're hitting and running backs running one way. Somebody hits them high. Another guy's 300-pound guy's pulling them low.
Well, you know.
I think that would happen all the time.
Speaking of bad football ones, obviously Theismann people talk about. Remember Tim Crumry's leg in the Super Bowl wagging like a flag? Another one. How about Napoleon McCallum? The Navy running back when he was with the Raiders, bending at a 90-degree angle forward, his knee bending exactly like it should, except in the wrong direction, the 90-degree angle. That was awful, too.
Yeah, that was bad. Wasn't there a baseball one where the guy's foot got caught in the wall?
Yeah, that rings a bell.
Was like Griffey or somebody.
Jason Kendall had an awful-looking one trying to leg out an infield single. No, an infield single. He reached for the bag and just came down awkwardly. That was a terrible one. But listen, to answer what you say about Elton Brand leaving the Clippers, that's fine. You know, any other year I would sign off on, yes, get as far away from Donald Sterling and company as possible. But not this year. Not once you beg them or at least ask them to go after Baron Davis, and then you get Baron Davis. I keep saying this, but let's go over it. Baron Davis, to me, if you rank NBA players as guys 6'11 and above and 6'10 and down, Baron Davis, to me, is one of the most underrated, if not the most underrated guy, 6'10 and down in the league. Most talented guy.
He's the best crunch time guy that nobody ever talks about.
I think he's one of the top 10 guys.
Here's the issue, though.
What?
Health.
Well, health, listen.
I mean, like, he really wore down the last probably 5 weeks of that season about as much as anyone can wear down. And the rap on him, and the reason allegedly the Warriors weren't really scared that he was leaving, was that they didn't think he was an 82-game guy. Even in the year before when they made the playoff run, he only played, I think, like 65 games. I don't remember the exact
number.
He made the whole season the past year and wore down. So the thought on him is maybe he's somebody that needs to go on the DL middle of the year. If you're going to make a playoff run with him, you kind of don't mind if he goes out for 4 to 5 weeks and then he plays 60, 65 games and then plays all the playoff
Interesting.
Games.
Interesting. But,
look at the
Celtics. Gamble that the Clippers, a team like the Clippers, must take. A great risk for them to be taking.
Well, because he's charismatic and he's from here and he's – I'll tell you, well, I was going to wait to talk about this, but I think that Elton Brand contract's terrible. I watched that guy for 4 years. I think he peaked in the 06 playoff season and became like a 24-10 guy. But he's one of those guys that the better the competition is, the worse he is. Like he's going to be best against, somebody like the 20-win Grizzlies. He's going to look like an all-star at 30. But the better the competition gets. Cause first of all, he's not a low post player. He doesn't have any low post moves. He's one of those guys that, much like myself, a garbage player, somebody that he always makes 15 footers if he's open.
That's not like you.
And people, no, that is like me.
No.
That is like me. I always get 50 footers.
Had I not played with you many times, I might be able to follow along with your analogy. Please continue.
Well, he's one of those guys that he never misses if he's open. And when you forget that you left him open, he makes you pay. But good defenses don't forget that Elton Brand is wide open from 15 feet. He does everything, you know, pretty well. He's a good shot blocker. But if you're going to play 40 minutes a game, and you average a 20-10, and you play good defense, you're not an $80 million player. I'm sorry. You play 40 minutes a game, you should get 20 points and 10 rebounds a game, and that's what he is.
I completely agree with
and
you.
That's what
I don't
he's
think
for
it's
9 years.
Is it that big a step down for the Clippers, and in fact, maybe even possibly a benefit if they can get Josh Smith now?
Well,
here's
the thing. I actually think Okafor is the best guy for
them. Or Okafor.
Because
right.
He's somebody. The thing is, Kamen's a great low post player. Not really a good defensive player and not a smart defensive player. So you put Okafor in there, then Okafor is blocking shots. You don't really need to go to him. He doesn't care if he's scoring. I think they'd actually be better with him than Elton Brand. I'd rather have Okafor at $60 million than Elton Brand at $80 million. Josh Smith, would be a disaster.
Why? Because he's troubled.
They've been down the Josh Smith road. I mean, they just went down that road with Q Richardson and D Miles and Odom, and that guy is in that phylum. You don't want to be the team that paid him. You don't want to be the messed up franchise.
Tim Thomas will take him under his wing.
Everything will go great. Do you want to have the messed up Clippers with Tim Thomas as one of the leaders, and you're paying Josh Smith $65 million, this guy that everybody agrees is shaky?
I agree. Listen, overnight it sank in, and I do think you're exactly right. I think either way, I think for the long term, for the next three seasons, at least 3-4 years, I think they'd be better off with Okafor or Josh Smith if Josh Smith isn't a problem child for him. But yeah, I agree with you.
Even if they traded Katina Mobley and a number one pick, they have Minnesota's number one pick, so that's about it. Even if they traded Katino Mobley and the Minnesota pick to Golden State and got Al Harrington, who I think was used incorrectly with Golden State, but somebody like that, somebody who's going to give them 17 points and 7 rebounds a game instead of the 2010 they got from Brand, I think they're better off. I really do.
But Brand, though, the thing that would have been great for him finally would be that he's not the man trying to run the offense through a guy who is trying to receive the ball in the blocks or, like you say, at the foul line, obviously isn't creating his own stuff. But if Baron Davis is running the show, he's your primary scorer there, then Elton Brand as your number two, that's when he would thrive. He's a good number two, but not a great number two,
that should be making 16 million.
Listen, the issue is more that he was a guy since he got here who sort of took the shame away from the Clippers. He always was.
But he tried to leave in 2003. He signed with Miami.
I know, but the
he
image
tried
is
to get it, out.
But he's such a good guy. The image is.
How do we know that?
Because
you don't know if he's a good guy.
You know what it is?
How do you know he's a good guy?
I have not been this let down thinking somebody's a good guy and then realizing he's bad since James Cromwell in L.A. Confidential. You know? That's right. That's exactly how I feel about it. What? Elton Brand's a jerk now? He's the bad guy? He's shooting Kevin Spacey? I didn't see that coming. You know? Well, that's how I feel. Baron Davis must feel like Spacey right now.
I bet he's not happy.
He can't be.
I've heard three theories on this. And the third one is my favorite. But the first theory is that they did collude. Davis and Brand, the whole league was talking about it. Everybody thought something was fishy, and Brand got scared. He's a good guy. He didn't want to be tied to it. He kind of freaked out and decided, and then backed out and went to Philly.
All right, but that's ridiculous. They would never be able to prove that. All right, that's an interesting theory. All right.
Second theory is that
So he's moving 5,000 miles away because he's worried that it's going to hurt his reputation.
Second theory is most plausible.
Mm-hmm.
Brand and Baron colluded. Brand didn't tell his agent, David Falk, who's one of the most powerful guys in the league, or used to be, not really anymore.
Well, that's one theory, is that Falk is trying to... I'm just saying that Falk, people think that is one, another theory, is that Falk talked him into this to return to being a power player in the NBA. He hasn't been since Michael Jordan retired.
You could go that way, or you go the other way, which is Falk was furious that this basic collusion happened under his nose, even though he didn't know about it, or maybe he did.
Mm.
And he decided to push Elton to Philly to get away from the stink of the collusion. So he very easily poisoned Elton on the Clippers. And some of that stuff has already come out. Like, Elton was apparently insulted that the Clippers said, 5 years, $60 million, that's our last offer.
Mm-hmm.
He allegedly took that personally. So you got David Falk saying, all right, the Clippers, they're screwing this up. They don't care. They seem to think you're some sort of sap. And so maybe Elton Brand, after all, was like, yeah, man, maybe they, you know, and then it turns into what it was. The third theory is my favorite, that before all of this, Elton and Baron decided, Elton's like, look, I don't really want to play for the Clippers anymore. And Baron's like, well, I don't really want to play for the Warriors either. And they said, well, you sign with the Clips and then I can go to Philly and I won't feel bad about it. And that was, it's interesting.
They're both wonderful actors. They're both in the movie industry. They both love it. It makes no sense.
Why does that make sense?
Because they're not good enough actors to pull off what they're doing.
What acting have they done?
Baron Davis has gone on, well, but Baron Davis has said how excited he is to be playing with one of the
best.
Maybe
that was part of their
power
plan.
Power forwards.
Maybe that was their plan.
Listen, but this isn't.
They're two Hollywood guys who read a lot of scripts. Maybe they had a whole script.
This is a big punk on all of us.
Yeah, we'll do. You sign here. I'll pretend I'm signing. I'll change my mind. I'll go here, and we'll never tell anybody.
Listen, What sense does it make? First of all, he wants to be in the movie industry, Elton Brand. Now he's on his way to Philadelphia. And by the way, is Philadelphia really a better situation? People keep talking about that the East is an easier conference to make a run in. Obviously it is. But the Celtics are still there. The Pistons are still around. The Cleveland LeBrons are still a better team.
Miami,
Orlando on the rise. Is it that really, are the Sixers really now a team that's going to go to the finals? That doesn't make any sense.
Here's the thing, and I never understand why teams don't do this. You can pay three guys a lot of money, and that's it. So, you look at the Celtics. They're paying Garnett, Pierce, and Ray Allen. Those are the guys that get the bulk of their money, and then they sprinkle around whatever they can get. Those are three good guys. Lakers, Kobe, Gasol, Odom.
Mm-hmm.
Three guys that have a lot of value, I think. Now, you're the Sixers. Elton Brand, who's a number two guy, not a superstar, you're paying as a number one guy. They're going to have to give Iguodala, who's probably a number three guy, they're going to have to give him $70 million. And then they're paying Sam D'Alembert $10 million a year, who's like a number four guy who's getting number two money. So now your best three guys are Elton Brand, Sam D'Alembert, Andre Iguodala, and you can't afford anybody else.
And Andre Miller, who's dissatisfied once again and wants out.
Yeah, Andre Miller, who's going to leave, you're probably going to have to trade. So, and if you keep him, then you have to pay him too. And how are you going to afford all four of those guys? You can't. So where are you going? What's your goal? Are you going to win the title with those as your best three guys? No. So why even do it? That's why I really feel like, and I thought the same thing with Rashard Lewis at last year. These GMs that take over these teams, they overpay for these guys. The fans get excited because they're too dumb to know any better. Oh, we got Elton Brand. Whoa, hey.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going? You're not going anywhere. 2 years later, they're going to realize it. They're going to be pissed off. But that guy's had his job for 2 years.
Philly fans think, though, this is dynamite. They're under the impression that they finished the season strongly with the best record over the last quarter of the regular season.
Right.
Then it looks like, oh, they're going to actually knock off the Pistons here. I can see there being some momentum behind it, but I agree with you.
They were never in that series. They upset the Pistons twice, and by games 5 and 6, that series was a blowout.
Look, the Clippers, I agree with you. I was stunned by it, but the Clippers, if they could get, and it's a big if still, but if they get Okafor or Josh Smith, they maybe are better off down the road. Maybe not next season, but 2 or 3 years from now, they will be. As
Josh
Eric
Smith
Gordon,
is a better fit, I would say, than Brand, just because with Barron, they can go run and gun. You got Josh Smith, you got Al Thornton. All of a sudden, it's kind of an interesting team.
Yeah, I think
they're going to win the West with Baron Davis and Elton Brand as their best two guys. Do
yeah,
really
but
think they're going to win the title with those
guys? I think 3 years from now, if they had Elton Brand as the steady guy in the blocks, rebounding and giving the scoring down there with Kamen, and then you go Baron Davis is your man, and then 3 years from now, if Eric Gordon, who's 19 years of age, if he pans out the way that he's supposed to, then he becomes your number two scorer.
Well, you went to IU.
That's right.
You probably watched some IU games.
Yeah,
what are your thoughts on Eric Gordon?
Well, listen, it was when they kicked Coach Knight out the door. Of course, I had to turn my back.
Right.
I was forced to choose to make a decision. The administration left me with no choice. I had to support Coach Knight and toughest decisions I've ever had to make.
You know, one of the things I've respected you the most over the year, about you the most over the years, was your unwavering support of Bob Knight.
Thank you.
In fact, I think, that's a true sports fan supports his guys through thick and thin, even when that person is talking about rape on 60 Minutes and saying that if it's inevitable, you got to relax
and
enjoy it. You still supported him even.
Look, the guys who seem like good guys, Elton Brand. Look at this now. You know what? Here's another one for you. How about Swayze's best chum in Ghost? He's a good guy. Oh, he's so devastated and everything. What happens? He actually is responsible for the murder of Swayze. That's how the Clipper fans must feel today. That's exactly
funny?
How they... Wait a second. This was a good guy.
I was just thinking about him because my wife and I are plowing through Dexter, which is really one of the five greatest shows of the decade, in my opinion.
Very good.
It's 22 episodes in 8 days. That guy was in one episode. He played Dexter's psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, in my lifetime, there have been three people, and there might be more, but I can only come up with three, whose careers were irrevocably ruined by a role because you could never see that
person. They were too good as
either,
the evil guy.
Either too good or you just could not see that person without thinking of him in that role. The first, obviously, Ned Beatty in Deliverance.
Right.
who I read an article a year ago about. He takes crap about that all the time. Hey, dead baby, woo, squeal like a pig. Like that poor guy, how did he know? second, Jamie Walters, a 90210, who played the abusive boyfriend of Tori Spelling.
Yeah.
Ray Pruitt with one T, who had a good career going on, because I will stand up for Hold On and Why as two songs that are.
I was
going
to say, it was a
right.
double threat.
So people, he was going on tour that year, and this is on YouTube, by the way. There's a great show about it, about like Access Hollywood. There's a whole segment on him. But he went on tour and people were like, why are you beating up Donna? Like people just started, and he actually like asked to go off the show. He thought it was ruining his career, and it ended up he did. And now he's a paramedic in LA. And then the third is, the guy from Ghost.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
That guy, when you look at like the landscape, like early 90s or late 80s, whatever it was, the guy was great in that movie. Handsome guy, good actor. Never ever, I think he was in one movie with Jim Belushi.
Yeah, I'm trying to place him in some other stuff. I can't think of that guy. And you have, you know, it's hard for me to see Pamela Anderson doing any transcending her definitive work.
No, I'm
work
talking
as a,
about actors that would have, actors who potentially could have ended up doing more than they did, but they came across some role relatively early in their careers
sure.
and just killed them.
They jumped into it, yeah.
Hold on,
C-3PO,
I'm
he was never up, in anything else.
I'm looking up Tony Goldwyn on.
Tony Goldwyn, good for
Tony
you.
Tony Goldwyn. Yeah, you know I remember that stuff.
Very nice.
Why don't you, can you filibuster for a second?
I'm not good at talking. I'm not much
he's
of a
born
talker.
Born in, played villain Carl Brunner.
Carl Brunner.
Carl Brunner. You just knew he was bad. All right, here we go. So he's in Friday the 13th, part 6. That was his first role. Followed by Gabby, a true story. Ghost. Cuffs.
Oh, with the dog?
Cuffs was
that was a big that was
the Belushi one.
That was a, yeah. There was that little window there where there was a lot of cops and their
right.
Their dogs.
Cops and dogs. Yeah. Or, yeah. It was that. There was that era, and then there was the kids switching places with the adult era. Was another one of my favorites.
Yeah, there
were
like
five of those.
Yeah,
ones.
Yeah, a lot
all
of
right,
those.
All right, so here we go. Ghost 1990, Cuffs 91 doesn't work again until 93.
Hmm.
Bit role in The Pelican Brief. Bit role in Nixon. Bit role in Reckless. Kiss the Girls. Guy's never seen again.
Wow.
The guy was great in Ghost.
Yeah, too good, apparently.
So, in my opinion, he went in for these auditions, and people were like, you know.
Romantic lead can't happen, though.
I don't trust you. I don't trust you and Patrick Swayze killed him. What? It was acting. It was a movie. No. No. I'm sorry. Get out of here. Get out of here, you cad. So,
you got to get Goldwyn in here. Talk to him about what he's been up to since
now.
Ghost. Is that
he's
right?
a director. Two people from the 80s are directors now, and it's amazing. Him and that guy Keith Gordon, who was the guy who murdered Back to School, was Rodney Dangerfield's son. One of the 10 worst performances ever in a great movie. Remember him?
Yeah.
He was a kid from Christine, and he was in Dressed to Kill. And then he was in Back to School, which was allegedly
wow.
comedy, but he wasn't funny and was like had this weird energy.
Yeah, we've talked about him. Yeah, I didn't realize. Yeah, so he does. Yeah, right. He does the car movie, does the Stephen King one. And yeah, he really does do his very best to ruin Back to School.
And I really almost did. And if Burt Young, I don't think Burt Young kind of combated it in a couple scenes. And if it wasn't for Burt Young, I think that movie's ruined.
Thank goodness for Zabka, you know,
yeah,
who
Zabka
shows up.
Too.
That's his holy, his unholy trio of movies. Movies in the 80s. Yeah,
right.
That's he puts
and
the cap on
Chaz,
that.
And he played Chaz, which was one of your favorite names. He was a Chaz.
Well, listen, he starts out as Johnny in Karate Kid, the meanest guy in Cobra Kai. Great, obviously, launching off point for him.
Right.
Then he moves on to just one of the guys. He's the ex-boyfriend or just the bully around school. But then he really stretches his legs as the evil diver. You don't see on the swim team the evil diver guy on it.
Is that? I think there's only been two swim movies. That one and Pride with Terrence Howard.
I've not taken in the Terrence Howard picture.
Well, that's
yeah.
just, they just went down the formula. I think they just sit in Hollywood and they're like, what movies haven't we twisted around yet where there's an underdog black team that goes against an evil white team? Like, all right, we've done basketball, we've done football. Swimming? We've done the swimming yet? Is there a light? But Tom Arnold is the evil white coach in that movie, to give you some perspective.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Now I got to set the TiVo for something.
No, don't set the TiVo.
But what about the? But back to Brand. Don't you consider this an evil move on his part? Aren't you stunned by this move that he seems to have left the Clippers in the lurch and Baron Davis in the lurch?
I will.
And
say,
Frankie Muniz is in the lurch.
And Frankie Muniz and me. I was stunned that it wasn't for more money. It was $20 million.
Matter
if
of fact,
the numbers are true and it's just $12 million and the guy's already made like $70 million, doesn't seem like
I've seen
money.
Numbers that make it as little as $7 million. I've seen $82 versus $75 million are the numbers I've seen. Imagine that. What is he doing? He tells the Clippers he's going to re-sign with them. He tells Baron Davis that he's going to sign with them and how excited he is to be playing with them. We want you on the Clippers, so on and so forth. What, the Clippers had no idea that this might actually happen? This seems... unreasonable,
it
right?
It is a phenomenally screwed up organization, though. I mean, by all accounts, like, they're the toughest team to deal with because they have Elgin's the GM, and he's got his group in the organization. Mike Dunleavy's the coach and is allegedly the one that you go to if you're making the call. He supposedly has the most pull, but nobody really knows. And then there's another group, the president, Andy Roser, who is, Sterling's right-hand man. And you actually have three different voices with competing agendas on the Clippers at all time. And it's, the other thing with the Clips, and I can't kill them on this, is they really are the second class citizen here. And you saw, you're trying to host your show. You had Clipper games on. You were getting preempted by Clipper games. The station you're going against has the Lakers. I mean, nobody cares about the Clippers. And they're one of those teams that...
That's not true. They have seven or eight fans.
Well, even when they signed Davis, and I emailed a couple of my Laker fan friends, like, oh, watch out. Here come the Clippers. And I got the same email back every time. They'll screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Clippers. Something bad will happen. That's just the perception out here. People just assume the worst. And maybe after living here for that long, he just said,
yeah,
this.
Listen, I buy all that. I buy all that. But listen, this is the young king bearded guy in Braveheart to Mel Gibson. Yeah, when you wave the flag out on the battlefield, we'll come charging in and save the day. That's what Elton Brand said. Like, yeah, go ahead, Gibson. Go ahead, Baron Davis. You sign and then next week I'll join you and we'll take care of business. Baron Davis signs, just like Mel Gibson going into battle with the British Army and everything.
Wait, hold on. Just got word you've broken the record for most movie analogies from the sports incident.
Because it's
Damascus, everybody.
This belongs
wow.
on the list. I mean, yes. Where does this fit in the hierarchy of betrayals?
Well, we don't have all the facts yet. I want to get all the facts. I want to know what Baron Davis knows. Here's what I want. I want Mark Stein to become the Woodward and Bernstein of this whole situation. And really, like, break it. I want, like, dates, I want phone calls, I want records, I want transcripts, I want witness testimonies, I want the whole thing.
Yeah, I look forward to finding out what really happened here. What is the justification for this? Here's another one. This isn't a movie analogy. How about this one? How about when
broke the record?
How about when Seinfeld and Costanza have the conversation about we're not men, we have to get engaged and move on with our lives?
That's the best one you've had.
There you go.
Yeah, that's
a good
one.
Costanza goes off and gets engaged, Seinfeld's like, yeah, I backed out of that whole thing.
It was with Janine Garofalo.
Janine Garofalo, right.
That's the best analogy you've had.
Sign with the Clippers. We'll do it together. It'll be great.
So Brandon Barron, we're at a diner. So if you had to rank the pop culture analogies, Seinfeld's first.
I don't know. I like
your stripes, the stepping forward and then stepping back.
I don't know. Ghost, I think, is pretty good. That's a pretty good one.
The guy in Ghost was evil, though. I mean, to make a run at Demi Moore when her husband had just died.
All right. No, I'm going to go with Cromwell in L.A. Confidential is the best
really?
One. James Cromwell is the lieutenant cop, the good guy who teaches, he takes the young cops under his wings and teaches them how to do the job the right way. And all of a sudden, out of left field, he turns around with a revolver in his hand and lays waste to Kevin Spacey. I was devastated by that, stunned by it. That's how Clipper fans must feel right now.
I never liked that movie.
What are you talking about?
Never liked it. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, shame on you. That's a marvelous picture.
I don't like it. And I'll tell you what movie I do like that I watched this weekend and I've decided is now the most underrated movie of the last 10 years. Dirty Work with Norm Macdonald. I defy anybody to watch Dirty Work and not enjoy it.
I missed it.
Third hit, Norm Macdonald and Artie Lang and Jack Warden and Chris Farley. I mean, it's like secretly a murderer's row, but I think it didn't do well because the girl was ugly.
Yeah, I'm not.
Kind of looked like Chris Evert's, like, younger, not as cute sister.
I'm sorry. I got another movie comparison coming up here for you.
The record.
How about this one? This is a semi-obscure picture. Randy Quaid in Hard Rain. He's the sheriff and all of a sudden turns evil.
That's, I mean, now it's like you're like Hack Wilson's 191 RBI season. Now it's like there's no
hope. I'm definitely
hope.
A hack. That's
there's,
for sure.
There's no hope for anybody. So we both vote for Okafor for the clips is making the most sense.
Look, I agree with all the stories about Josh Smith being a ne'er-do-well in practice and fighting with teammates and so on and so forth. Maybe
snapping
it's not,
at fans.
Yeah, maybe it's not the greatest fit in the world, but with his on-court deeds, he's 22. Think about Baron Davis is not, would now be the man, and then you have a bunch of youngsters around him. Eric Gordon is, to get back to that, is fantastic. I don't understand. We talked about him earlier in the year. I don't understand people who think that he's got a limited game. He's 19 years of age, and
he's great value for that pick because coming into that year, he was on the level with Beasley and Rose, and he had a truly screwed up season. You can make a case that circumstances.
He was injured, right? With Calvin Sampson, the season's a throwaway.
Well, imagine being 18, you choose Indiana because of Calvin Sampson.
Mm-hmm.
He turns out to be a scumbag. The whole thing falls apart. You're playing for a month waiting for the guy to get fired. People are asking me about it all the time. Like, when I was 18, I couldn't deal with anything.
Yeah, listen, of course.
I was upset when, the guy across the hall from me was playing music I didn't like. That sent me into a tizzy for a week. Like, I don't know. I think.
And what music was that? I would make a pop culture reference, so I'm not alone on my island.
Actually, it was the guy to my left. I've mentioned this before. Nick Aida, who was playing. His girlfriend had dumped him, and he was playing The Smiths and The Cure all the time. And it was putting everybody in a dark mood. And then eventually I ended up liking those groups. But you hear The Smiths and The Cure for a solid month, it's going to affect you. So I can't even imagine Eric Gordon with the Samson thing.
Well, look, maybe he's a little undersized is the only thing I can see for the NBA is that he's 6'3", but who knows, I don't know if that'll be a major factor for him, but the guy has at 18 had limitless range just about, really would knock down not NBA range threes, but really legitimately 26 footers. He launches it from everywhere, gets in the lane. He's dynamite getting to the rim. And they say he's not a great defender. He's 18 years of age. I'm sure that can be solved.
Well, he's also been in the spotlight for 4 or 5 years, which I do think is important. It's not like some of these guys where, they're not used to the attention or the lifestyle. This guy was like Mr. Illinois, made the most controversial decision, in Indiana high school basketball history, I think, or Illinois basketball.
Backing out of the Illini.
Whatever. Here's my vote. I think competitively for the Clippers, Okafor is the best choice. Personally, creatively, comedically, Josh Smith. Nothing would make me happier than if they gave Josh Smith $75 million. Like, overpaid him, removed his incentive to be good, turned him into this vilifying force. I think that would be great.
Well, what about it, though? So you were waiting to see who the Clippers were going to draft here, and then they get Baron Davis on top of it. Did Bill Simmons buy his season tickets for the Clippers?
Well, that decision was made before the draft.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
And that's right. I'm sorry. It was the
I have a partner now, my friend Mike. We're splitting it.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
And, ironically, we're trying to move our seats a little bit around, and we thought the EB thing killed us that he was coming back. But now that he's not coming back, I feel like we have a better chance.
This is actually even better for you. So you're even more excited about the season now.
Well, I mean, if they got Josh Smith, that could be my third book. Josh Smith on the Clippers by Bill Simmons.
About that? So you're not writing any more columns for the summertime. You're off for the next month or two?
I have a 10-week sabbatical to finish this book that hopefully I'm going to finish. I'll be back in time for week one of the NFL season, which...
Hopefully. Well, you have to be back for football, right?
No, I mean,
right?
Hopefully I'll finish the book. I think I will.
Mm-hmm.
But, America needs me. They need my sub-500 picks. They need to know what I'm doing.
Absolutely. Well, you're going to continue with this. You're going to continue with the BS report, though,
no matter
what. I'm
doing the weekly podcast. Yeah, because it's actually more fun. Like, if I'm in front of the computer typing for 10, 12 hours a day, and then I get to talk to somebody for an hour, I'm actually looking forward to that.
Yeah, but that's like
seeing you today.
But you could wind up being like Madonna, though. You know, Madonna made her way as a musician, and then she sort of set that aside and maybe devoted too much time to the acting. Lindsay Lohan, the other way, acting, now trying to be a singer. Don't fall into that trap,
I'll
Bill
be the
Simmons.
I'll be the first to admit that I am mediocre at best with the podcast, but it is it's a fun way to...
No, it's not an indictment. I'm just saying don't forget the...
I know where my bread is buttered, Dave Damashek. And speaking of buttered bread,
yes,
we got to do the jerk of the month.
All right, let's see. Yeah, we do. Here's something. You want to do that now?
Why don't you explain what it is, and we'll explain why we're doing it for a national audience.
Well, it's pretty straightforward. It's the jerk list. I do it as often as I possibly can. Look, it's a great society we live in, but jerks and creeps are always trying to bring the rest of us righteous people down. So I just try to do what I can to fell any bad behavior out there with my Han Solo Edition blaster. I take them down, all the jerks and creeps of the week or the month, and they feel the sting on the backside of their souls with the Han Solo Edition blaster.
Let's give the timeline. So you and I were reading together on Jimmy Kimmel's show.
Right.
We had to do talking points every day in the beginning where we suggested ideas for the show and jokes and potential bits while Kimmel buried his head in the computer and didn't listen to any of them. And then eventually you decided... You just named the jerk of the week.
Yeah.
And then that eventually evolved into the jerk list.
Yeah, right? The jerk list. Well, no, actually, well, at first was the jerk report.
Jerk report, that's right.
I pitched it as the jerk report to Kimmel. He passed or didn't hear it either way.
No, he didn't hear it. I don't think he passed. I think he was answering an email from Alex Wallow.
And then I go with the jerk report when I go on to the Adam Carolla radio show. I do that for a year until they saw fit to replace me with Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah, that wasn't a good idea.
Listen, I really do have to say, I really do like that it is such a great, for the rest of my life now, I'm the only human being who ever has been or ever will be, I assume, fired in favor of Danny Bonaducci. That's, in a way, a perverse feather in my cap,
right? It's like being fired for Tila Tequila.
Can you imagine?
Wait, so when you were on Carolla's show, was it called Jerk List or Jerk Report?
Well, it started out as the Jerk Report, and then Kimmel decided, he did hear the Jerk Report and heard it repeatedly, and then at the All-Star Game in Pittsburgh, because he was a producer of the radio show,
right,
he said, you will now change it from the Jerk Report to the Jerk List, and I said, why? And he said, it's just a better name for it. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. And then it came to a head at the All-Star Game in Pittsburgh a couple of years ago. And he said, you will now replace it as it will now be the Jerk List, or you're not going to be on the show anymore.
Wow. That doesn't sound like him at all.
That's so it became the Jerk List, and just as well. By the way, here's a late breaking news for you.
Yeah.
Some guy, do you know some guy named Rich Murata? He does boxing. He's some fella. He's on Bill Handel's conservative radio show, big time radio show. He's now doing something called the Jerk of the Week on that show.
No.
I've gotten in touch with their producers and said, hey, just so you know, I'm already doing the Jerk List and the Creep of the Week and everything else. And Rich Marotta's response, I've never heard of Dave Damashek.
Oh, see that?
So what? So now you're aware of him. Now you have heard of me. Now stop doing that bit, right?
That's so annoying. Hey, that happened to me when I had my old website, when it started to become more and more visible and people, radio station, they just started pulling stuff and ideas. And there's nothing more frustrating or violating.
Yes.
It's having an idea or concept that you like, or you're trying to perpetuate, and somebody just takes it. Oh, no, I never heard of you. I've never been to that website.
So that's what we do. We just go through the jerks. And listen, I appreciate any assistance that you have. I consider myself, I know you didn't see the Lord of the Rings movies, but I am like a more righteous Sauron. The eye sees all, remember the top of the tower, the big eye, nothing eludes it. Everything in the world is seen by the eye, but he means to do ill to people.
You put my wife on the jerk list on your LA show.
Well, I think she certainly deserved it too, don't you? For disparaging
the
city
of the week, I think.
Yeah, I made her the creep of the week because she disparaged the city of Pittsburgh. I don't remember the exact line, but she said something to the effect that it rhymes with. Am I right, or am I confusing her with Sienna Miller?
No, it was one of the two.
Compared, it rhymes. The number two, Pitt, and rhymes with.
I never told her about that. She's very vindictive. She would have been upset.
I've spoken with her about it.
Oh, she knows about it?
In fact, I've asked her to join me and Face the Music. She refuses.
Yeah, she likes to. She's like Norm's wife in Cheers.
She wants to just take shots from the sideline,
yeah,
though.
You just see her in the background.
Yeah, I didn't care for that. But listen, it can range from the people in the news to, you know, to for instance, you know what really drove me crazy yesterday at the office? This one is something that makes me crazy. The hedonism in our society is really getting out of hand. The me first attitude. How about the move of the microwave door leaving it open at the office, you know, in the kitchenette? That drives me insane. Here, let me do this. Here's what I think of you, rest of the world. I'm going to, I have the energy to open the refrigerator or freezer and remove my food and then put it into the thing and close the door.
And
can close
the clock.
And I can punch the numbers into the clock. I have enough energy for all of that. And now when the food is done, I can still muster the strength to open that door and take my food out. But after that, that's it. The door has to stay open with the light on. How selfish can you be? How much strength does it take to shut the microwave door? These are the jerks I wish to take down to make our society a better place.
I stand behind you 100%. All right, before we get to the jerk list, I did get an email from a friend of mine at the Clippers. This kind of bummed me out.
Mm-hmm.
He was just talking about how bummed out they were today at their morning meeting with 30 employees, all of them searching for answers. You forget, like, a guy like Elton Brand, he just doesn't play in front of the fans and with his teammates. Like, he's also part of the organization. And these guys, you know, the ticket guys or the PR guys, like, these guys become central characters in his life. They do him favors. They feel like they know him. They feel like they're so for him.
He's a good guy. Listen,
yeah,
I've talked to him a number of times. He was a super nice guy and a funny guy and everything else.
So everybody loved this guy, and I think the consensus with the organization seems to be like, I never thought he would do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, on top of the fact that the guy split town, was the fact that they're just kind of surprised. They thought he had more character than what he has. And, you know, they had a similar thing happen with Odom. Odom was a free agent the year Miami ended up signing him.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to come back to the Clippers and was like going through the office and shaking hands with people and really like pushing for them. He wanted like a 3-year, $27 million deal or something, and was really like greasing the skids and, hey, I'm a changed guy and I love it here. I want to be a Clipper for life. And then the weird thing happened with Miami where the guy's Anthony Carter's agent screwed up sending in his contract on time, and suddenly they had cap space and they offered him 6 years, $60 million. He's like, hey guys, I'll see you later. And he fled there. But wait, you were just in the office shaking everybody's hand. What happened? But in that case, they kind of knew Odom was a little bit suspect. I don't think they saw this Brand thing coming. And I think the stories are going to be interesting, how this plays out over the next couple of days.
I hope we can find them out. I mean, the other thing that I started to say, too, was you threw out your three possibilities of what the real story is there. But again, David Falk, it seems like a soap opera. It really does seem insane that David Falk, in a ploy to regain his power in the league as a super agent, somehow compelled Elton Brand against his true feelings, his real wishes, to move across the country to Philadelphia. Somehow he convinced Elton Brand of the virtues of the Sixers, and or more, that the Clippers were somehow trying to hose him on this deal, and now this returns him to having great influence over the players.
It's interesting theory. I just wish Elton was honest, because two things that are coming out just are not true. First of all, that he'd rather be in the East, that it's easier in the East. That might have been true 4 years ago. That's not true anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You got Garnett, you get Dwight Howard. Like, I would argue that the West guys are getting older. Like, you'd almost, you know, I think it's a wash. I don't know what the exact breakdown is, but Chris Posh, Dwight Howard, Kevin Garnett. They're not off the top of my head. But,
well, they talk about, apparently Brand said, we talked to Rick Bucher earlier this week on the radio show, and he said that Brand has always said that he would prefer to be in the East because he likes the grind at out half court style. But again, I mean, I just don't. Yeah, maybe you did like that 5 years ago when you saw that there was that clear distinction there. But I don't really see matchups individually for Elton Brand being better. And the other thing is that Bucher said is, well, he'll have a chance to be an all-star more often. Again, like you say, Bosch, Kevin Garnett, on and so forth.
He's also not one of the best 25 players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think maybe that 1 year the Clippers, he had a career year and moved into the top 15 for a year in general. Not top 25. And I also think the whole grind it out in the East thing, I don't buy that either. I think you know, Boston and Detroit are certainly two really good defensive teams in Cleveland. But other than that, those are three good defensive teams in the whole. You know, why does Washington grind it out? Does Philly grind it out? Like, I don't know. I think that's
well, for that matter, well, yeah, and for that matter,
what does that even mean?
In the West, teams, it's not like the Jazz aren't on the rise there, and they won't grind you defensively at least.
Right, San Antonio grinds you out. So I thought that was hogwash. Then the other thing is, his family is back east, and he wants to be closer to his family. Give me a break. First of all, it's better to be away from your family. Second of all, the guy's making a ton of money. He can buy houses for his family. They can live with him.
Yeah, do you really imagine, yeah, that his mom lives in New York? Do we really imagine that Elton Brand can't have his mother stay for 2 months at a time? Like, yeah, we only get together like once every other year now. It's too expensive. You know, gas prices have really jacked up the airline flights. You know, I'm sorry, Mom.
Sorry, Mom. I only
Next
made
Thanksgiving.
$60 million this year. I can't afford to buy you a house.
That's the point. You know, you can talk about money. Well, it's still $5 million or still $10 million. Not if you're Elton Brand, who must be conservatively sitting on $20 or $25 million, right? That must be what Elton Brand's worth now. So what's really the difference if it was, let's say, $70 million versus $85 million?
Well, now there's
50,
rumors.
What's the difference?
There's also rumors that the Clippers offered basically the same amount.
Yeah, but I'm saying either way, though. Yeah. What's the difference there?
I just think he should be honest. And I felt the same way when my wife forced me to watch The Bachelor season finale on Monday. And the girl, Deanna, didn't pick the guy with the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, she's like, you're perfect. You're one of the best people I've ever met. This has nothing to do with you. I'm in love with you, but I'm in love with someone else.
I'm falling in love with you,
but I'm in love with someone else.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm answering emails. I'm barely paying attention. I kind of saw this part and I'm like, first of all, you can't be, if you're in love with somebody, you can't fall in love with somebody else. It's impossible. And
agreed. I made the same point to my wife at the same
time. You love that person. You would not fall for another person. But also, don't tell the guy that he's perfect when obviously he's not, because if he was perfect, you would have picked him.
Well, how about a couple of things with that, by the way? First of all, the guy asks her, is it because of my son? He tries to put it, he has a 3-year-old kid,
right.
and he tries to make it about the son. Imagine what that would do to the poor kid if on national TV, the woman who wisely did not blame the kid. She didn't say anything to do with the kid.
But
the father's putting his little kid in the crosshairs. Was it his fault? Was it anything that he did? Is it that I have a son? Like, imagine the stigma that the kid would walk around with. I ruined my dad's chance at happiness.
I know.
And how about the guy when they do that thing with the proposal thing where they give each other a rose at the end? And he goes down on one knee,
and then she says,
stand up, please, you have to stand up.
And he didn't stand up right away.
No, of course, but imagine that guy.
Well, this guy in the limo or whatever, and he's like, you know, I introduced her to my son, and that's a part of my life. It's a big deal for me to open that part of my life. Well, obviously not. It's not a big deal because you're on national TV and you just opened him up to 10 million people. So
I was glad. I was ultimately happy to see him get the boot because of that. Because
he's a scumbag. You don't put your son on national TV like, hey, it's my desperate dad. Look
and then try to blame the son for when it doesn't work out. Yeah.
Which brings me back to my point. It was clearly she didn't pick him because he had a son and she didn't want to be somebody's stepmother if she had this other guy that she liked equally and this guy didn't have a kid.
Yes.
So just tell the guy that. Just say, hey, you know what? You have a son. I'm not ready for the responsibility of being a parent. I'm 25. You know, I was hoping to go on The Bachelor, become a pseudo celebrity, be on Us Weekly a couple times, and then either I'll break up with the guy I pick or whatever. I don't want to get involved with somebody's kid. Just be honest. And I think the same thing with Elton Brand. He didn't want to be a Clipper anymore. Mm-hmm. Just say, you know what? This is a screwed up franchise. I just didn't want to be a Clipper anymore. I want a new team. I want a team that makes sense. I want a team with an owner that makes sense. And that's just what I want. I'm sorry. It's not you. It's nothing personal.
Listen, that's exactly right. I agree. That is what I cannot, it boggles the mind for me.
Well, you know what? We broke the combined record for most pop culture now. Sporting.
I know, I was out. I was just about to go back to,
You own the single record, you own the individual record, but now we also own the team combined record. for pop culture.
News. Well done. Well right. done. A significant day.
Let's do the jerk list. Joe Mead, do we have a...
Before we get to let me just say, before we get into the jerk list, if you happen to find your name on it, people don't like it. You said that the sports gal found her way on there. You found your way on there. A lot of people do, and they feel raw about it, and they somehow get angry with me as though it was my fault that somehow you got under the jerk list.
Right.
So before we begin, let me just remind you that I didn't ultimately do this to you. You did this
right.
to you. Now, let it begin.
All right, Joe.
Hey, you over-officious jerk!
And now, look, here comes the jerk. It's time for...
Well, the jerk store called, and they're running out of you.
D.D. Demichek's Jerk List.
I have a few choice words for him. You and or and a jerk.
The Jerk List.
Holy
nice.
That was
such
like
production.
Serious production.
Wonderfully done. Wonderfully done.
I wish everybody could see Dave right now. He's dancing on the ceiling. He's so happy.
All right. So, let's press on now with the first member of the jerk list for this week. The former Seattle Supersonics, now Oklahoma City Sonics, or they're not the Sonics, I should say. They were good enough, Seattle, or the Sonics, to leave the name Sonics behind for whoever takes over there ultimately. Someday a team will return there.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Well, listen, imagine, look, they're awful to leave after four decades, the diehard fans of Seattle up there. It's not as though they're a team without any tradition. We can go on and on about that, why they're jerks. Imagine being Kevin Durant. Imagine being a 19-year-old guy.
Ugh.
You move to one of the great cities in America. You move up to Seattle. You buy a house. You buy a house for your family. They also move up there, and a year later, we're not going to be staying in spectacular Seattle anymore. We're moving to Oklahoma City.
Ugh.
Same difference, pretty much, cities, right?
You
Oklahoma City.
You've just killed your audience in Oklahoma City.
Dang.
They're furious.
But here's the problem. So they are leaving the name Sonics behind, but here are the four finalists. These are the names that they are actually considering right now. A newspaper in Oklahoma City, these are the names. The Barons. All right, not terrible. Oklahoma City Barons. I guess I could live with that. Ironic, though, that Baron Davis is now a Clipper. They really would have to make that their first order of business.
Yeah, I don't think you can name a team with a famous player is the same name.
So let's rule that one out. Then how about this one? The Thunderbirds. Don't like that one. That's a cartoon or a car.
Sounds minor leaguey.
Yeah, unless there is some indigenous bird, because I give points to people like the Minnesota Timberwolves, some regional animal, the Nittany Lion. I think that's cool, but Thunderbirds doesn't work. The Outlaws, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, the USFL had the Oklahoma City Outlaws, did they not?
They did, yeah.
So there's some history there. I don't know if I embrace the idea of taking the name of a failed, your franchise from a failed football league. I don't know if that's a great way to start things off there.
It's not.
But here's your worst one right here. The Oklahoma City Thunder. No, you must end your team name in S unless you are the Red Sox or White Sox. That's a hard and fast rule that I will not waver on. And if you're going to consider Barons, Thunderbirds, Outlaws, and or Thunder, if that's the worst of them all, let's just go with the most obvious name of all. The Oklahoma City Jerks! There we go. There's the Han Solo Digital Blaster.
Joe's asleep.
Your thoughts on that one, Simmons?
I mean, we've talked about this, I'd say collectively 50 hours about the Miami Heat.
Yes.
Like these.
The worst is Minnesota
Heat.
Wild. That's
it's
the worst of them all.
I just feel like it's got to be an S. And if it's not an S, I think an X is kind of acceptable because in some cases the X can be the plural and that.
Yeah.
But, and even then, I'm not really crazy about it, but the Red Sox.
Well, the Red Sox,
Sox
player. Right.
Yeah,
it's a weird thing.
It's weird. Like, he's a Red Sox. Or he's a Red Sox. Like.
That's a weird one. Yeah.
But it's been in place since, you know, the early 1900s, so you can't really kill it.
I'm fine with that. It's even cool, the X replacing
the X. It's okay. Once you start ending with T's and R's.
Well,
and
then it creates the grammatical quandary. The Orlando Magic is on a 7-game winning streak. No, it's 12 guys. They are on a winning streak, right?
Yeah. Hey, in fact, I think you could argue the Orlando Magic is the most defensible of all the SX names because of the Disney and Orlando Magic, it's actually kind of a cool name, but I still, I don't support it.
No, I gotta stand by the Wild. The Wild makes, I don't know what that's supposed to suggest even. I can't even fathom what they were going through there. A like, hockey team up there, the Minnesota Wild. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Alright, let's move along then you know what, as a matter of fact, speaking of grammatical quandaries, this leads us nicely into the other one that drives me crazy. Any broadcaster who says, RBI. He has 120 RBI on the season. That's a terrible thing, too. Am I right about that one?
Well, grammatically, it's correct.
I know.
I always say RBIs. Right. I think when you write it in print, it should be RBI. But when you say it, it should be RBI.
It should be RBI. So, all right, that's a quick one. Let's just throw that one in there. The people who say RBI, that guy has 117 RBI, I say about you, you're a jerk. There we go.
Oh,
solo edition blaster. Joe's getting up to speed there.
I just picture Joe like just on the with the button just ready, like you
just
know,
imagine me. No, it's imagine it's like this. You know the bazooka in the military movies. The one guy stands next to the bazooka guy and taps him on top of the helmet there, and he fires. That's like that. I'm giving Joe the tap on the head.
I think it's
time to fire.
Joe's been around for 14 months. I think it's time we really started testing him. So I'm glad we're doing
it. All right, good. Well, here's something we'll do. Let's get away from the sour for just a second and move into the sweet. I like to mix a little sugar in to the process here and hand out a couple of Get Out of Jerk Free cards now. The Get Out of Jerk Free card works very much like the Get Out of Jail Free card does in Monopoly. Any future jerky behavior, this will buy you out of it. And so that's where we're coming from on this one. First up, college football magazines. I'm walking down the street last week and by the newsstand, and I see the Street and Smith's college football preview and the Athlon's. I'm not sure what Athlon and Street and Smith combined to do to fill the other 11 months out of the year, but I go wild every year and always have since I was a lad. When I see those things, I buy them all up and I read them cover to cover, even including the Division I AA teams. I read the whole thing. As a child, I would fill out the brackets. I would fill out my polls and name who I thought was going to be the preseason number one. College football magazine showing up in the first week of July to get you ready for college football seasons. You get the get out of jerk free card.
What about the fantasy NFL?
I like that one too.
Those come last week, June.
Have you purchased a few of those?
Haven't. I like to wait until the early August when things start to shake out a little.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's another get out of jerk free card. I actually have a couple to give out. This one, I usually give them out for people who do something good. But really, I think this guy deserves it. Chris Snyder of the Arizona Dirty Snakes. You hear about this one?
Yep.
We talk about nasty injuries. Mm-hmm. A fractured testicle.
Yeah.
Enough said about that. I mean, he didn't do anything good necessarily, but the poor guy. Give him a get out of jerk free card.
So the karma of the injury.
Yeah, it's just, it's a unique and awful injury.
It's
fractured testicle.
Well,
that's all.
74 or 75, Carlton Fisk, foul tip, ruptured testicle, passed out on the field.
Is that right? I had no idea.
Carried off unconscious. Has to be one of the worst injuries ever.
Wow, I wasn't aware of
that. When you have an injury
that
makes you actually pass out on the playing field, that's a bad injury.
Ruptured or fractured, if you had to choose?
I don't see how you can fracture a testicle.
I know, that's what's remarkable about it.
Like a fracture to me intimates that there's a bone.
I know. Well.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, let's move along from that
right.
one to the last get out of jerk free card. And that one goes to Dave Damashek, as a matter of fact. Dave Damashek gets the get out of jerk free card for a banner idea. I had this one back on January 1st, watching the so-called Winter Classic, the NHL game between the Penguins and Sabres up in Buffalo. The snowflakes fell. It was a glorious scene. 80,000 people gathered out there. I said, instead of pushing your luck, NHL, next year, don't try to recreate it and do it up in a winter climb and see if it snows and if everything falls together. Instead, do something even better. This time around, January 1st, I suggested, go to Santa Monica, go to the beach and play Anaheim Ducks and LA Kings or whoever you want to have playing out there. All right, 80,000 people won't be out there. You can put up some of those temporary stands for the people who go out and watch the beach volleyball. Imagine the backdrop would be bosomy babes and the sea and the sun shining high and in the foreground the ice. It would be majestic. It would be magnificent. You would never have seen anything like it. It would raise the profile of the sport through the roof, and that's why I give Dave Damashek the get out of jerk free card for that wonderful idea.
I like it, and if only because you successfully used the word bosomy.
Thank you.
As part of your pitch.
You.
So,
all right.
Yeah,
let's get back to the jerks now. Right. Next up on the jerk list, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman.
For not taking my advice.
I mean, I don't know if you've heard, but it's all but a done deal now that they are going to be playing the Blackhawks and Red Wings up in Chicago on January 1st in Wrigley Field. Sounds very cool. Ooh. Sounds awesome. I'd love to be there. But what if it happens to be 43 degrees and there's a freezing rain falling and it's not the snowy scene that we saw up in Buffalo? It's going to be compared to that, so it's going to have to be perfect, idyllic conditions to match what we saw last year. An overtime game won by the game's greatest player, Kid Crosby, in the shootout. You're going to have a hard time matching that one. They should have just gone to the sea. It would have been better. So, Gary Bettman, call yourself commissioner. I call you jerk. There's Joey. I fell asleep there for a second. All right.
Hey, can I just say one
please.
Thing, though? I'm not against the Wrigley Field idea because that could potentially lead to Fenway Park. The Bruins game in Fenway Park would be amazing.
It would be awesome. Remember, it's potential, though. We now have the paradigm set from what we saw in Buffalo on January 1st. It's going to be hard to match that.
Well, nobody's there. You're not going to match the snow in HD. Even I watched that.
It was the greatest.
Yeah.
So now they're rolling the dice. They're pushing their luck here a little bit too much.
Yeah, but the ballparks makes it interesting.
All right. So be it. But the better idea would have been at the sea.
Right there on the edge of the sand would have been wonderful. Well, maybe they'll do it.
Just watch yourself, Simmons, because you can still find yourself on this list if you want to.
I'm sorry.
Just don't push your luck. All right, now let me go to somebody else here. Joe, you're going to have to be careful with your shot here. Just wing them a little bit here because this hasn't happened just yet. But next up on the list, Brett Favre. All right, he wants to come back. I dig that. It's his right, I suppose, to come back. But the Packers, who you are lined up with, who you are now the legend of that team, one of the great teams in sports, and if the Packers have decided, for better or worse, that they are moving on with Aaron Rodgers, that it makes sense for them to do that, then you must accept it. That's it. You retired, and you've floated the idea we're retiring. That's how they got Aaron Rodgers in the first place. Aaron Rodgers has been studying for a couple of years now. They want him to take over. You must abide by the Packers' wishes because shame the devil if you force them to release you. Here's what it comes down to. You come back, Brett Favre, and sign with either the Chicago Bears or Minnesota Vikings, both of whom are at the top of the list for teams that need QBs. If you do that, then you will be not just a jerk, you will not just be the creep of the month, but you may just get immediate entry into the creep hall of shame. You might just go right in. And once you go in, you're in all day. You never get out.
Bettman's
one away. Well, he's got two strikes. Normally, there's a three-strike rule. Not in this case. All I ask is a fan. Call me childish, if you will. Well, I hate all the talk about big business. So, you know, Elton Brand did it. It's a business decision. You have to keep in mind. It's about business. I say fat to that kind of logic. As fans, shouldn't we, with our loyalty, be accorded some measure of that sort of loyalty out of our athletes, the guys we cheer for? Elton Brand, don't you owe it to Clipper fans, the long-suffering fans, especially after you just gathered about $16 million for 8 games you just played? You just made that money. You had no compunction about taking that. But now that you can opt out, you run off to Philadelphia for an extra $5 or $10 million.
Well, the Favre thing's much worse than Elton.
I'm right. That's one thing. Then you go to Johnny Damon to talk about your world. Everybody, that was the rhetoric that most journalists threw around. Grow up, people. It's a big business here. Johnny Damon could have gone to different places. He didn't have to go to the New York Yankees, the arch rival of the Red Sox. This, at least Johnny Damon, though, started out as a Royal. This would be I know Brett Favre spent a year with the Falcons, but he is the Packers. If he abandons the Packers and signs with the Vikings or the Bears, then all loyalty is gone. There's no reason to root for anything. It's the root for the uniform mentality. I say fat to that. I'm not going to stand for it. If Brett Favre, the legend, the face of the NFL, the good guy, the guy who's everything good about the NFL, if you betray that, you betray Packer fans, you betray the NFL, you betray fandom like that, then you will be a jerk. And just give him a little wing here, Joe. Just let him feel a hint of what it's going to feel like if he goes into the creep hall of shame. Just got him a little bit. Just got him a little bit. Little hip shot there. It's not a kill shot. Right, but I'm right about that. Am I not? Or am I being childish in your
eyes?
No,
I think you're right. But on the other hand, it would be the greatest sports story of this decade because you're now putting the Packer fans in the position of many of whom like Brett Favre more than the Packers.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
So now you're putting them in the position of, do they actually root for Brett Favre when he's playing the Packers? Now, the Packers fans would say, no, I'm always the Packers. But I've been there. I've seen the way that Brett Favre is like a demigod to those people. And I just can't fathom the thought of them rooting against Brett Favre in Lambeau.
Oh,
I don't know how they handle that. I would be fascinated to see how that unfolds.
Well, and Dig, how about the other side of the coin is, could you as a Vikings fan or a Bears fan root for Brett Favre after he's caused you more than a decade of pain and misery?
Oh, in a heartbeat.
I disagree with that too. None of it makes
sense.
He's
not a villain though. It's not like you're not like, it's not like he was Wilt Chamberlain or something. Like he,
or Randy Moss as a, for instance. It would be hard to root. Oh, wait a second. You did that all last season, didn't you, sports
guy?
That
was unfair. I didn't do anything. I'm just reacting.
Well, all right.
Hot shot at me.
Careful. Mind your P's and Q's. All right. Let's get to the creep of the month.
All right. We didn't have the music for this, so I have to do the Star Wars theme myself. Da, 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 da.
Wait, hold on a second.
Da,
now, before you get to that, it's got to go like dun, 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 da, la, la, dun, 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 da, la, la,
dun, 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 yeah?
And then, no, you got to do that
but
twice.
You know I'm not a Star Wars nerd.
I know, but yeah, I want to sing the song to it. So, all right, so ready? You start singing on three. Ready?
Okay.
One, two, three.
Dun, 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 da, da, dun, dun.
Creep, creep, of the week, of the week.
Good.
He or she is the creep of the week. But now it's creep of the month now.
We just caused some car accidents.
So be it. All right, it's got to be. It's an obvious one. It's Elton Brand. How dare you, Elton Brand? Tell Baron Davis like a snake. Yeah, sign with the Clippers. Yeah, it'll be a great duo, you and I, for years to come. Hey, Clippers, I'll take less money if you bring Baron Davis in. Hey, Clippers fans, I'm in. I know I'm opting out, but I plan to be here for the long haul. I love being a Clipper. I'm taking the stink away. By the way, Elton Brand, the greatest Clipper in the history of the organization. Imagine that. That's a sad statement about the Clipper organization, but in fact, he does go down as the greatest Clipper of all time. And he walks away for what? $5 million more? $10 million more? Because his agent told him to? Because he's now closer to his family? None of those reasons make any sense to me. Look, you've been called a Blue Devil, you've been called a Bull, you've been called a Clipper. One time you've been called an All-Star, and in a couple of months, you'll soon be called a Philadelphia 76er. But for right now, Elton Brand, you are called the Creep of the Month.
Joe. Yeah. You know what? We're going to edit that later, and it'll sound fantastic.
All right, wonderful.
I will say, though, going down as the greatest Clipper in franchise history is like going down as the hottest girl in NESCAC history. It's a reference you won't get, but I'm just saying, like.
No idea what that is. I'm trying to think.
NESCAC is the conference in the East Coast that has Williams and Amherst and Hamilton. And it's not a bunch of lookers in those.
I was going to say, I was going to say, being the hottest Ivy League cheerleader.
I don't have a jerk of the week, but I got to give out a get out of jerk free card. Do I have one?
Please. Yes, please.
I got to give it to the Brewers for trading for CC Sabathia and allowing me the satisfaction and happiness of seeing a 320-pound guy hit every 5 days. I think it's not since Engelbert in Bad News Bears 2, not 1-2, when they had the really, really fat Engelbert, have I been, cause he could swing the bat is the ironic thing.
Yeah.
And it's exciting when he comes up. I want to see him hit it. Like, my goal for him is to hit a triple and just to see what happens. Forget about the home run. You can go into the jog. But if he hits a triple, he's really, you know, you got to beat it out. Oh, here comes the throw at the slide. Like, it could be
Yeah, that should be marvelous. And where does he rank in all-time fat guys that are professional athletes? Still, to me, I know that the fat tub of goo, Terry Forster, is probably still
the
example. But, yeah, I'm thinking of just, El Guapo. I'm just talking fat guys. Who's the fattest guy to do it?
Who's the golfer? Craig Stadler?
Wow, the Walrus, but John Daly blows him away at this point.
Yeah, but the Walrus won a major when he was like over 300. I remember being specifically almost obese.
So he could be, at the very least, CC Sabathia stands to go down in history if he can do something good with the Brewers here as the most accomplished fat professional athlete ever.
Yeah, because now that he's hitting and now that you're incorporating things like running and a relative, you know, a level of conditioning that you think you would need to have that he's obviously not going to attain, it could be fantastic. You might have him, because I remember one of the
great... Well, wait a second. Daly won a major. Oh, but he wasn't yet three. He wasn't... Actually, Daly is... just call him 300 pounds is probably being way too conservative.
No, well, no.
He's pushing four.
But the greatest Rich Garces moment ever was there was a game, I think 99, when... On consecutive plays, he had to run over to first base to cover the bag. And he was so winded that the pitching coach had to come out to buy him time to get his breath back. Actually happened. Two times in a row, covering first, followed by a visit to the pitching coach, pretending that they were whatever. And then, so anyway, I think we could see that with Sebastian.
Yeah, and I guess, and the nose tackles. Yeah, they're you know, Siragusa and Hampton and so on and so forth. Those guys, I always am amazed that they can make it to the sideline when they have to come off the down,
because it's
for
like
third
50
quarter.
Yards.
Yeah, I'm surprised that we don't see more, you know, heart attacks related to, jogging off the field as a result.
Well, we gotta wrap this up. We never got to a movie this week. Maybe we'll do that next month.
Yeah, we're gonna go.
The Ellen Brand thing kind of trumped everything, though. That was quite a big story.
It is amazing. Yeah, and I was excited because we were gonna talk a little Marion Cabretti, some Cobra
action.
Yeah,
we'll do that next time. So
I look forward to it.
Dave Damashek, one of the hosts at Damashek Denholm and Long, 7:10 a.m. Los Angeles, 4 to 7 West Coast time. You can also listen to it on the 710am.com website.
That's right, and I appreciate it, sports guy Bill Simmons. Good luck with the book, and remember, don't become a Madonna here. Bread's buttered.
Don't worry about me. I know that this isn't even my bread. This is like, it's a week-old thing of cornbread.
All right, well, it's been a thin slice of heaven for me, and
yeah,
I appreciate doing it.
We'll see you in a month.
Wonderful.
All right.
Target the off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.